Now we can do it. It's good morning, everybody. It's good to have you with us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Now watch. We got to do it one more time here. The clicking was just a little slow this morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is Sunday, January 1st, 2023. Ooh. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2022, God said, I am rewarding you. And so thank God for the reward you received. You might say, well, Pastor, I didn't receive no reward last year. Well, if I were you, I wouldn't say that. You know why? Because when God says, I'm going to give you a reward, guess what he does? He gives you a reward.
Amen.
Amen. And so somewhere last year, you got rewarded for something that you did. And we're glad to have you with us this year. You know, this is a pretty cool thing. It really is a very cool thing. It's a really cool thing. I declare over our technology this year, it's going to function in a manner than greater than we've ever seen it before.
Amen.
Amen. All year long, our technology is going to function with us. Since what we do is technology, technology has to work. Why? Because God said that in blessing, he would bless us. So everywhere we go, every day, we bless people. Therefore, the blessing must be upon us because you can't bless what you don't have within you. But once you got it within you, now you can bless with it every single day.
Amen.
So welcome, welcome, welcome. Last night, we had a pretty cool Zoom program because we just kind of talked about the different things that we've learned this year, the revelation God's given us, the manifestation of God's blessing on our lives. And that was a great time. We did a lot of talking about dreams last night.
Yeah.
Because we've been in that in the last 6 months, the last 3 months of this year, last year. And so this is 2023. And as God does every single year in my life now for, wow, 2023, and it started in 1995, which would have been 1995, something about I'm alive or something. I'll get it. I'll remember. But anyways, so 95 to 23 is 28 years God's been doing this with me.
Isn't that awesome?
So what he gave me this year for you and I in our ministry, write it down and begin to say it every day. 2023, it's time to reap for me. The me is capitalized. All right? The fields are white to harvest. Now that's God speaking to you and I, but it's also God speaking to you and I. God's saying, go reap for me, but he's also saying, you got to start saying, it's time to reap for me. Your fields are white to harvest, reap them.
Amen.
Everybody say, it's a year of reaping.
It's a year of reaping.
And so we're going to be talking about that throughout this program today. And we're going to talk about how you start a new year. How you start a new year. Why? Because it's not only important how you end something, it's important how you start it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the great leaders of our time is a man named Ed Cole, Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole. Dr. Cole, he had a very interesting ministry. He said, I have a ministry to men for women.
Well, that's a good ministry.
That's an interesting statement, isn't it? I have a ministry to men for women. Well, what did that mean? That means that his ministry was to men. He had a men's ministry. But the whole purpose of the ministry was so that the women would no longer be abused and held down and, you know, all the things that male chauvinism has done throughout the years to women. And so he said, I have a ministry to men for women. Well, what was it? What happened with Dr. Cole's ministry? He created some of the strongest families you have ever seen and some of the greatest world changers of our day. Dr. Edmund Lewis Cole was the one that was so valuable in her life. And you and I can learn a lot from some of the things he taught us. And every one of us, every single one of us got to get this inside of us. Every single one of us. The longer you live in the past, the less you get accomplished in your present.
Yeah, wow.
And the farther away the future is. The more you live in today, having learned lessons from the past, the greater you can have today and the faster the future gets to you. That's just how it is. And you might even say, well, Pastor, I don't even like it. My past is so bad that it just destroyed me. Well, that's what we're going to deal with today, because nobody's past has destroyed them.
Amen.
Now, without God, your past can beat the snot out of you. Mm-hmm. If you'll allow me to be a little country gross this morning. All right. But when you get into God, all that changes, because he restores the years. God restores the years.
Yeah.
That's part number two of this year, is God restores the years. And you might be in a place you don't even want to be in. You might be in a place you never thought you'd be in. You might have had these great dreams and plans and everything at the beginning of your life and then be standing here 50 years later going, oh my Lord, what happened to me? This is what's important. It doesn't matter what has happened to you. God wants to change your life today and give you one of the greatest lives that you ever lived. Now, just like we have since we started this in March of 2020, we're going to take communion every night we come together. We're going to be doing the prayer program. We're going to be charging this year with the Word of God and the things of God and the ways of God.
Amen.
Now watch. Amen. God's going to give us some assignments. They're not options. They're not just good suggestions. You might want to try it. You don't have to. If something happens, good. If it doesn't, it's okay too. Don't worry about it. I'm just your God. No. When God gives us assignments, what's he do to give it to us for? Because he needs that done on this earth through you. I'm going to confront this doctrine all year long that says, well, God can do anything he wants. He doesn't need my help. Because it ain't true.
We collaborate.
How did God reach the whole world in the book of Acts? Through Paul and Peter and Timothy. Look, one of the most key important people of the whole New Testament is Luke. But you only hear his name mentioned 4 or 5 times in the book of Acts. Yet Luke is the one that wrote the book of Acts. And Luke was a physician serving alongside of Paul. Not because Paul was sick. Because God said to this great physician, you follow that man and record everything that I give you to record. So here's Luke, a doctor, a literal, physical, human body doctor. And yet God said, you go with the great apostle. You go with Jesus. Luke's got one of the best renditions of the life of Jesus. Luke has the most expanded view of Joseph, Mary, John the Baptist, and Jesus, his beginning. Why? Because, oh, excellent Theophilus, I have sat down to write to you everything that I saw and heard. And here's Luke all the way through it. Why are you saying it, Pastor? Because you don't know what it is that God's going to want you to do this year. And I'm going to tell you right now, for years I've said, I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. Well, that's because I am. When I was 16 years old, God called me to preach. When I was 15 years old, he called me to preach. But God also has other parts of me. And he's throughout this last year, he said, now listen to me. This is what God said to me. I'm taking you into where I want you to be, and you're going to become what I want you to be, not what you think you should be.
So there.
Well, wait a minute. Which of us are going to say to God, no, I don't want to be what you want me to be? Some of you have a call on your life for business, and you've resisted it because you want to be a missionary, a church person, a whatever. Some of you have a ministry, and you're supposed to be a missionary and run all over the world and help build churches and build things and do it, and yet you're stuck in business. Well, God gave you the business to fund the mission. Some of you are old and you're like, I just want to sit here and do nothing. And God's got a huge ministry for you. Mm-hmm. Some of you are young and you say, well, someday when I get older, I'll do that. I wish I could play it for you. One of my first prophecies was from Dr. Evans and Mel Davis and Dr. Barkley. They had a ministry time where they were prophesying over people. And Dr. Evans started prophesying over me. He said, you say, I'll preach better someday. And he goes, no, you preach better now. I'm like, whoa. Hallelujah. See, what happens because of the persecution of life is we keep saying, well, I'll do that someday out there. And God's saying, you ain't going to do that someday out there. You're going to do it right now, because right now is the place where I need you doing it, is right now. There, now I made you the co-host, and you can help me with it. Now, so welcome, 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 2023. It's time to reap for me. The fields are white to harvest.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's our word. Here we go. Does anybody have a guess of the first scripture I'm going to use for the new year? It's the same one every year. If you haven't been paying attention the last 2 years, you get your stuff together and pay attention. Isaiah 43. I think, love, you should go open this sliding glass door, because I have the same feeling that you're having right now. And I've already turned them all off.
Wow.
We're so used to, you know, cold weather here in North Dakota. We don't know how to act when it turns out to not be such cold weather. Let me see. I haven't checked it today. But I would say that what we got going on right now this morning is we have a weather temperature that is nice and warm. And so we're sitting here just a sweating. Well, yeah, it's 11 degrees out. It's not like it's cold or something. And so anyways, there you go. Isaiah 43, that's the first place I go every year. Why? Because this is some of the most power-filled, powerhouse verses you have ever had in all of your life. I'm going to tell you right now, nobody ever has to have a business fail if they'll stay in these verses. Two people that are married will never have a marriage failure if the two of them will get in these verses. There'll never be a divorce in your life if you'll get in these verses and live in these verses. You will never have another failure in your life if you live in these couple verses I'm getting ready to give you. Well, Pastor, that's a bold statement. Well, wait a minute. It's the truth. It's the truth. Well, yeah, but how can you say you'll never have a failure? Because God doesn't fail. You and I might have to take a long walk to get to that success. But failure isn't about what happens to you today. Failure is only happens when you quit. When you quit trying,
oh, amen.
That's when it fails. When you say, that's it, I've had enough, then you just failed. And it doesn't matter what part of life that's in. When you look at this thing and say, I am going through, guess what? there will be no more failure in your life. There'll just be some days and some details till success happens for you. Yeah. One guy said to me, well, Pastor, what's success? I said, success is integrity. What's integrity? Doing the right thing at the right time with the right people, no matter who's looking. That's what integrity is. You do it right. Why? Because it's right. And it doesn't matter if somebody's watching you. If you only do right when people are watching you, you're going to live a double life. And that's not a fun life. I've got 5 messages open right now. There we go. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Do not remember the former things.
Amen.
Any of you, every time you see me go to Isaiah 43, 18, all of you should think 18, 19, 21, 25, and 26. Why? Because I'm going to put them all together every time. Do not remember the former things. Hey, but Pastor, how can you forget your past? Did Jesus wipe away your sins and throw them in the sea of his forgetfulness? Yes. And he's your elder brother and your heir of God and joint heir with Jesus and everything he has, you have. Yes. Then if he can forget, his nature is inside of us and we can forget. Pastor, I'm having a hard time forgetting. I know. We all have a hard time forgetting until we say, you know what, that's it. I'm forgetting that part. You don't forget the lesson you learned. You don't forget the valuable things that you've cultivated in your life. You forget that trash and people's failures in your past. And you never hold it against them another day of their life. And you treat them like they're the most amazing conquering person in your life. They stay with you, they stay with you. If they go away, they go away. But you stand there saying the same thing. And no matter what happens, if somebody walks away from you and then someday comes back, you look at them and say, I ain't never walking away from you. I'm never doing you any wrong. I can tell right now this morning, I am ministering to somebody that's about ready to get divorced.
Wow.
Now, right here in the middle of my New Year's message, I'm going to stop and prophesy to you, whoever you are. That's interesting. Everything I say, I can see this couple getting ready to be divorced. How does God do that? Now, I don't necessarily see your names. I just see you. And you're accepting the doctrines of confusion. And you really shouldn't be divorced. Now, there's some people that there wasn't a thing right about their life since the beginning. There's a lot of other people that it's just like, you just quit working on it. No, just go back to working on it. Quit bringing up the past. Wow, I got to say this right in the middle of my New Year's message. I prophesy to you, you go back and find the reason why you got together and watch what God does for you. Yeah, who knows, I'm probably saving a whole bunch of marriages right now that there ain't no reason for you to be divorced. Now, some of you that there is a reason for you to be divorced, God wants you to so forget the events of that you go on and there's never another day of failure, I'm okay now, yeah. There's never another day of confusion about it. You just say, well, that happened on that day, and marching on we go. That is really interesting for this morning. Remember, we talked about this last night. God hates divorce, and yet God divorced his own people. Why? Because of the hardness of their heart. To those of you that I'm talking to this morning, in your marriage, that you don't need to be divorced, but it's there, and it's knocking on your door, and you're talking the word. I got a word for you. Quit having a hard heart and go back to being the soft-hearted, God-loving people that you're supposed to be. And you know how to be. and just decide we're never going to say the D word again, and we're going to march on in God and get our mission accomplished so that we have a great future together in Jesus' mighty name. There, I said it, and I'm done. That happened at about 11:20, about 11:20. There. Now watch. Isaiah 43. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. We got to say that every day of our life. God's doing a new thing. It's springing forth now. It shall spring forth. You shall know it. Now, when you read the King James and the old King James, it says, shall you know it? Well, God's speaking through Isaiah here, asking him a question. Are you going to know it? But when you and I read this Bible, we don't let what Isaiah said to those people in that day, we don't let that dictate whether or not we know it. There's a whole lot of people that say, well, God says, well, you know it, so God probably doesn't know whether or not we know it. No, everything is based on your opinion, your desire, your drive, your determination to have everything that God wants you to have. He, write this verse in, Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. God is the rewarder of those who seek him. God is the rewarder of those who seek him. He rewards you. Why? Because when you seek him, those are the ones that he is that will find him. And I'm not going to go read it, but it's a really good story of somebody seeking God. Obviously, in Abraham's life, he began to seek after God. Because God all of a sudden showed up to Abraham and said, hey, Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. Well, there wasn't anything about Abraham that was any better than anybody else except one thing. His desire to know God. Something about Abraham, God said, that's my man. I like what this man is doing in his life. You think about reading the book of Job. We read that last year. If you go into the Read the Word program that we did last year, you read the book of Job. Man, Job understood some things about God that he had studied from the earth. And obviously that God gave him dreams and visions in the night, because Job had a pretty good understanding about who God was. And Job literally prophesied. The first book ever written was Job. He prophesied about Jesus and his suffering. How did they know that? They sought God, and God rewarded them for seeking him. Before Abraham and before Job, Enoch walked with God and was not. God took him. Enoch walked so close to God, God's like, Enoch, oh, y'all, come on up here and be with me. And Enoch was just gone. God took him. What? Because he walked with God. I'm back in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Behold, I do a new thing. Even now it shall spring forth. You shall know it. I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Someday I'm going to take, Sister Leanne and I are going to take, well, isn't that interesting? Let me say it this way. I'm going to take Sister Leanne with me in the semi, and we're going to go down one of these roads out here in North Dakota. And while we're going, I'm going to have her film a road in the wilderness. Because God said, I'll even make a road in the wilderness. Not just a trail. In this place we live, these oil field companies make a road in the wilderness. And they put those roads in places there ain't supposed to be no road. And you can see by the hand of man that man has looked and said, well, I got a piece of equipment that'll pull all that hill down and put it right there, and we can put a road in there. And I'm going to tell you, God has the ability where it looks like there couldn't be a road there no matter what. God can put a road there. I was driving back from Washington State the last 3 days in a semi, driving up some of those passes through Washington, Idaho, and Montana. And I'd see a house up on the side of the mountain, and you just think, what caused that person to believe I can put a house right there? I'm on the top of that one pass in Idaho, and it's like, it's a whole, I don't know, there's probably 300-400 houses up there. You're like, wonder who the first guy was that says, I'm going to build a house here. And he did. And then somebody else like, well, if Charlie built one there, I'm going to put one there too. Now you got a whole city up there. 8,000 feet in the air, you got a city. And they got water and electricity. Why? Because somebody was a possibility thinker. Somebody said this is possible. And in your life and mine, God is doing a new thing. Even now, that new thing will spring forth. Amen. And you will know it. Because he's going to make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, 21. This people I have formed for myself. Say with me, I am one of those people.
I am one of those people.
I am one of the people God has formed for himself. They shall declare my praise. You and I declare the praise of God every single day. Why did God put man on this earth? Because in the garden, he put man there to tend and keep the garden that he just planted on earth. God intended Adam and Eve to be in that garden and tend and keep the garden and expand it all over the whole earth with no sin, with no sorrow, with no sadness, with none of this. That was God's intention, that he would have a place to come and dwell with people, his people, and they would be his children. And he put man here, and he formed him, and he breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living being, a speaking spirit, just like God. People say, well, but Pastor, he was just a human on the earth. No. How is it that Adam named everything on the earth? How did he have a vocabulary that was that big that he could name everything on the earth? Because he was made in the image of God. And when you and I are born again, John chapter 3, write that in for our verses for this day. John chapter 3, and that's verses, I think we'll just say 1 through 20. Let me see. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Let's see, 21, 1 through 21. What is that? When Nicodemus came to Jesus, what do I got to do? Jesus said, you must be born again. What happens? Your spirit man comes back to that place in the Garden of Eden where you and God are one again. And then, when you're one, it's just like the garden. And you and I are taken back to that garden. And God said, this people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. What was Jesus' whole purpose of coming to this earth? To stop the work of the devil. He came to destroy the work of the devil. Let me say it differently. He came to show you and I the Father, and in so doing, stop the work of the devil. My meat, Jesus said, my purpose is to do the will of him who sent me. Verse 25, Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake. What's the word blot out mean? In the book, your transgressions are written. And what is the blotter? It's that piece of cloth that would wipe that transgression out of the book. You know, we have whiteout, but it's still there. But in the day we live, in the computer world, it's called the delete button. Have you ever written a document that you didn't want to disappear, and then you hit the wrong button, and it disappeared, and it was absolutely gone, and no matter what you did, you tried to bring it back, and bring it back, and bring it back, and it was just gone. It was just gone. Sister Leanne and I first moved here. She had a computer. It wouldn't work. She had a bunch of pictures on it. We put them on a hard drive. We did everything right. Except something that we didn't do that was right.
Except something.
You see, God said, I'm going to blot out your transgression for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Guys, in this new year, decide to no longer remember anyone's sins against them.
Amen.
Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter what they did to you. Did God forgive you of your sins?
Yes, he did.
You can't say if he forgives you, because he does. Since he forgave you of your sins, it is of absolute importance that you forgive everybody of their sins. Pastor, just talk about conquer, and this is going to be the greatest year. This is the number one thing that will stop you from having a great year right here, is that you hold somebody else's sin against them. It's literally that serious. Well, I like that part about I won't remember the things of the past. Yeah, that's right. And the number one thing you got to forget is somebody else's sin. It doesn't mean that they're going to stop sinning against you. Have you ever noticed that? Some of them will still sin against you. They don't get it. They don't get it at all. If you don't mind me saying it that way, they just don't get it. Matter of fact, some of them, they don't even think that there's anything to get. They don't even know. Why? They've lived a life like this for so many years, they don't even know what they're doing is wrong. But see, it doesn't matter. God doesn't take away from you and me the importance of forgiving people for what they've done. You're like,
amen.
Man, Pastor, you're starting right out the first part of the year. Well, wait. This is the number one thing that stops everybody in their life, is refusing to forgive somebody else for what they've done. I heard Dr. Barclay say it this morning when he was preaching. He said, there's been many people deserted me in my life. But that never stops you and I from doing what's right. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And you got to forgive them. Woo! We're into high cotton. I'm trying to get over to my other verse in the New Testament, but I've now dealt with divorce and now I've dealt with unforgiveness. But it's okay, because this is not my service. I don't have a plan that I got to get done for Sam. I'm a scribe. I'm an oracle. I'm going to speak what God gives me to speak, and it's going to change your life. Some of you that has been a part of our program for a long time, you're like, last part of the year, 2022, you're like, man, something's got to change this next year. Well, here's what's got to change. You got to put God first. You have
Amen.
To put him first. And that means you have to live by this. You have to live by this book, no matter what. You have to live like God tells you to live. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. And some of you have been like, Pastor, I want to live like you do, and I want to be there, but I got so many cares of the world. Yeah, every one of us do. And this is the first day of the year. And on this day, decide the cares of the world are not going to cause me to put my Bible down and stop pressing into the things of God. I'm going to be the greatest Christian. I have ever been in my life, ever, and it's going to be 2023 is the year for me.
Amen.
To become what God wants me to be. See, God said, it's time to reap for me. The fields are white to harvest. But here's the thing. Until we get this part solved right here, in these two sets of verses, in Isaiah 43, 18, 19, 21, 25, and 26, until you get this settled and solved and established, you don't get to go on to that next level. Now, in the day we live, whether you can read or write, they're going to pass you on to the next grade. Wrong, 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 stupid, wrong, stupid. Why? Because now we've built 20-year-olds that can't do a thing.
Yeah.
Can't even read. I had to do a comm check, an EFS check on my way back driving this truck. And there's people like the first guy, like, I don't even know how to write out a check. He said, I was looking at that line on there saying, I sure hope that guy knows what to do because I don't even know how to do that. Couldn't write a check out. But I'm not against him. He was a super nice guy. Bless him. God bless that man. He helped me. But see, there's only one reason that happens, and that is we don't take ourselves in and say, no, I am going to get this basic bottom line foundation principle in order for it to happen. Let's read 26. Isaiah 43, 26. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Pastor, that sounds like God wants us to talk to him in that manner. Well, did I just read you the Bible or was I making that up? See, that's the B-I-B-L-E. But when you come before God to state your case, you better be ready to listen. And you have to treat him like a father because he is your father. And he's longing for you to be just like him and have a close-knit relationship with him where you're just tight as can be. And I'm going to tell you, it's the greatest place you've ever been. But as any good father, he's going to say, you got to stop doing that, and you got to stop doing that, and you got to stop doing that, and you got to stop doing this. Why would God say that to you? Because those are all things that are hurting your life. Kathy Angaroni. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Brother Roger, Kathy, all the rest of you that's over there on YouTube, and all y'all that's coming in the future and will be here and be a part of this program. We welcome you. This is our 2023 New Year's Day. Welcome to the kingdom of 2023, and let's get it all right at the beginning.
Amen.
Amen. 26, Isaiah 43, 26. Sister Leanne put it in the notes there. God said, put me in remembrance. Well, Pastor, I didn't think we could ever talk to God like that. Well, you can talk to God like that if you will have that kind of relationship with him, of a relationship of honor. He wants you to treat him as your father with all of the respect and honor and love due to him. Now watch. But he's never going to be like your earthly father if you had a bad one. He will never be that.
Amen.
Ever. Why? Because earthly fathers fail. And I've heard earthly fathers say to their children, you're so dumb, you're just never going to get it, are you? That's not being a good dad. You know what's wrong with a dad that makes that statement? He don't know how to teach, because the one that's dumb is the dad.
Yeah.
Because that kid's only going to be like the father. I'm preaching better than you're staring at me right now. And I ain't afraid on New Year's Day to say, let's get it right. Because if we don't start out right now on this day getting it right, the rest of the year can't be good. Forgive everybody of everything and forget the past. Get yourself into a relationship with the Father. because he's gonna lead you to a place this year you've never known. I've met people throughout my life who you walk up and you could just feel God on them. You're like, man, I want that in my life. I want when people walk up to me, I want them to feel God coming from me.
Amen.
Well, you know, God will do that for anybody. There's a man at Living Word Church, my home church, in Midland, Michigan, who you walk up to him and you just feel God. Do you remember his name? Most people would never know his name. Because he's the guy that stands at the front door and opens it up. Yet this man loves God so much, as soon as you walk up, you feel God coming off him. His name's Bob. Now, Dr. Barclay's said his name a lot. But if you just come up to the church, you wouldn't know his name. Why? Till he's opened the door for you the 35th time, and you say, hey, man, what's your name? And then you're going to know his name. But when you walk up, you can just feel Jesus on you. He's not a prophet. He's not an apostle. He's just a man that just loves God, loves to have a place to serve in the kingdom, and is there. And now that Bob's retired from the city, he's out there at the church serving every day. Just loves to be able to be out there serving.
He's changing that whole atmosphere.
And he's changing the whole atmosphere. Why? Because he built a relationship with God. And that relationship transforms everything around him. It does. And he gets close to God. I got to move to my next verse because I'm way out of time. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I always fight the same thing at the beginning of every year. I want to preach about 12 messages to you all at the same time. But I got to stick with one at a time and then just preach 12. Here we go. The 12 days of Christmas. This is the 12 days of the new year. I like
there
it.
There you go.
John chapter 4 is the story of the woman at the well. When Jesus is in Samaria, he walks up to the well and he had sent the disciples over into the city to buy some food. They were obviously hungry, you know. And so he's standing by the well, and a woman walks up, and she's got a pot, and Jesus says, will you give me a drink? And being a nice lady said, yeah, but wait, I want to read it. Verse 9. The woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. The Samaritans were a group of people that once were Jews, and they allowed sin and things to come in. And so the children of Israel, the Jewish people, said, well, we don't like that. You go be over there. And they created their city, and they called them Samaritans. But they're actually their brothers and sisters. Now watch this. She spoke prejudice to Jesus. She said, why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan and I'm a Jew. She spoke two of the biggest prejudices of that day out loud to Jesus, why he shouldn't talk to her. So why did God, the Father, send Jesus there? Crush that prejudice in the city where the prejudice came from, Samaria. A Samaritan. He sent him right to the core, to the city of Samaria, and said, the Jews don't have dealings with Samaritans. I'm going to fix it right now. Jesus said in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have not only got me the drink of water, but you would have taken the gift of life. Well, now here comes Jesus and the lady, and they're going back and forth. And she's like, wow, you're a holy man. I can tell. And let's see. Let's get down here to verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And she said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You have well said you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly." Whoops. All of a sudden, the lady's like, "I'm having me a trip to the water well today." Jesus 21, Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." What's Jesus doing? You guys worship here. The Jews say to worship there. But I'm here, and you're going to worship the Father. How? In spirit and in truth. What is he showing her? You got to get past the prejudice. You got to get past unforgiveness. You got to get past the fact that you've had five husbands. What is Jesus dealing with? Let me just say it differently. What's Jesus dealing with in this service right now this morning? He's dealing with this divorce thing. That's interesting to me. Wow. Look at Jesus. "You have truly said," and then she's like, "Whoa, I think you're a prophet." Now watch. And I'm in, well, this is just John chapter 4, verses 1 through 40.
There you go. It's a safe bet.
And I'm just going to bounce around in there because I'm trying to get it done quick. Watch this. What was Jesus doing immediately when he met this woman? Canceling her past, canceling her failure, and saying, "You need to know the Father." What is our answer for 2023? Cancel the past, cancel your failures, and get to know the Father. There's a whole bunch of people in the kingdom that don't have any idea that the answer for our life is that we are supposed to know the Father. I sure hope everybody has heard me so far. My mic was off. Is anybody saying amen or anything? Nobody said, "I can't hear you, so we must be
nobody,
good."
Nobody, yeah, nobody.
Well, it looked like my mic was off. Anyways, on this first day of the year, Jesus is saying to us, you got to let go of the past. Learn every lesson from it you can. Don't hate the people that's in it. Bring everybody with you that you can bring. Get rid of forgiveness and failure. Quit worrying about it. You can't change it. So why keep worrying about it? What if you failed completely? I don't think there's anybody that has failed more completely than this lady who's had five men, five husbands, and the man she's with, she's not married to. Wouldn't we consider that probably a failure person?
Yeah.
And what? Jesus didn't make no big deal of that.
He didn't.
What did he say? Go get them. Go get them. I want you to get the whole picture of this chapter. Some of you, it would do you good to read it out loud. Slow down. You're not trying to set a record by how fast you read it. In God, there's no blessing for reading a chapter in 1 minute. Slow down. You got to get what he's saying to you. Because Jesus went to Samaria because the Father told him to go there. When he got there, he was going to deal with the prejudice between the Jews and the Samaritans, and he was going to deal with the prejudice between men and women. All right? I got it. I got somebody saying, "What? Go with me to Galatians." Hold your finger there in John. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Look at this. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Look at this. Galatians 3. Let's go down here to 25 through 29. Look at this. After faith has come, we're no longer under the tutor. Of course, he's talking about you have an inheritance, but until you get trained, you don't get to have the benefit of the inheritance. Watch this. 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's how anybody becomes a child. 27, for as many as you as were baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male, no wait, there's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. So what did Jesus just do with this lady? He took out all the prejudice and said, quit worrying about it. Did he fix all the prejudice in that region in that one time? Are you kidding me? There was severe prejudice. There's probably still severe prejudice. Well, look at the prejudice that's between the Jews and everybody else around him.
Yeah.
Still there.
Still there.
But Jesus dealt with it, and he dealt with it publicly enough that we have the record of it. So, in this chapter, in this first 42 verses of this chapter, Jesus said, quit dragging around your past, quit hanging on to prejudice, and forgive and move forward. Now watch. I'm in John 4, 22. And I'm going to go through 24. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is. That's 2,000 years ago that now is happened. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such. He didn't say he's seeking men. He didn't say he's only seeking women. Father is seeking anyone who will worship him in spirit and in truth. See, for years, many people in the church have said, God's looking for worship. Well, no, he's looking for the worshiper. Because a worshiper is a transformed person that can go into this world and change this day. John Wehner, dude. Good to see you, my brother. Good to see you. Let's keep reading. I'm in John 4, 23. The hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking those to worship him in this manner. 24. God is a spirit, or God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, or in spirit by the truth. You might say, well, Pastor, I want to be this, but I can't hear God, so how am I going to be able to worship him like that? Every day you hear me say this. Every day. Now that you're born again, when you wake up in the morning, before you get out of bed, just say, Father, help me walk with you today.
Amen.
Yeah, but Pastor, he don't talk to me like he talks to you. There was a time when he didn't talk to me. Wait, he is always talking to all of us. It's not about whether or not God talks to you. It's about whether or not you got your ears cleared.
Amen.
My mom, I don't know why, but she would say, get the peanut butter out. I'm not sure what that meant. Maybe that wasn't my mom. Maybe it's somebody else. But what's it mean? It's not that you got to get the wax out of your ears. It's that you got to get the junk out of your heart.
Amen.
Because God's speaking to every one of us 24/7. It's whether or not we're listening to all the junk rather than to hear his voice. Get the junk out. Get it out of the way. Get rid of music that don't glorify God. Get rid of movies that don't glorify God. Quit reading books that don't glorify God. Get yourself out of the junk that doesn't glorify God. Oh, but Pastor, I have to have entertainment. There ain't no better entertainment than casting a demon out. I'm going to tell you right now. Walking in a room that where God's presence is and people's hearts are melting and the glory of God's changing them, there's no glory. There's no greater fun and enjoyment in all of life than that. Well, I got to change. Yes, you do. And guess what? We're the group of people that's going to help you and stand by you to help you change. And when you look at us and say, it ain't happening, Pastor. then I'm going to look at you and say, stop saying it ain't happening.
Yeah, there you go.
What is it we say to each other all the time? Leanne and I say to each other all the time, well, I just said it again. It ain't happening. So guess what? It ain't happening. You say that about yourself, Pastor? Yeah. Why? Because if you don't have enough sense to look at yourself in the mirror and say, get your stuff together, buddy, then you got to get out of you and get into God. Because God doesn't condemn you. Look at this story. She'd been married 5 times and was living with a man. He wasn't married to him. But do you know, Jesus never said a word about that in the whole chapter. Watch this. He said, go tell the city. And when you read on down through this, let's go to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who'd been married 5 times. I added that phrase in there, but wait. Do you think the people in the city didn't know she'd been married 5 times and was now living with somebody? Maybe. They knew that. But they came to Jesus because she said, he told me all I ever did. Now watch. When the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now watch this, verse 42, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed Christ, the Savior of the world. What did Jesus just do because he followed the Father's plan? He just crushed the prejudice between the Jews and the Samaritans, yeah, and said, hey, all y'all as good as anything. Wait, this is before the cross. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And he's establishing it right at the beginning of his ministry. Prejudice doesn't matter. Failure doesn't matter. Sin doesn't matter. Come to the cross, receive the blood, receive the righteousness, and then walk with God our Father. We're going back to verse 23. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Watch this. For the Father is seeking you and me to worship him. But what he ain't, he's not insecure and needs worship to make it. He doesn't want the worship. He wants you.
Amen.
God is a spirit, and those who worship, who fellowship with him, must do it in spirit and truth. For 2 months now, I have heard the Father saying, I was so determined that from September to December, I was going to break the junk off me that caused me not to be able to get in closer and closer to the Father. Now, I'm not in sin. I don't sin. So it wasn't anything more than the Father says, I want you to be one with me. Well, if he wants me to be one with him, guess what? I want to be one with the Father.
Amen.
But you know what? I got to get me out of the way in order to be one with the Father. So throughout the last 3 months, he would say, you got to get rid of that. And at first, you're condemned at first. You're like, oh, I'm sorry, please forgive me. He's like, quit being that way. I'm just saying to you, that's going to hurt you. Get rid of that. Oh. And then when I begin to pray and take the word and deal with it, he's like, see, that's good. I'm proud of you. All of a sudden, your relationship changes from a mean father saying, you better do it or else. But that's not God. God's like, no, let me welcome you into this relationship that you never even knew existed. You've been judging me by an earthly father. Quit judging me by your earthly father. Judge me according to the word as the Father I am. And when you go to the New Testament in Jesus' life, what? Jesus, I forget how many times it says it. 123 times or something in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus said, my Father. What was he doing? He was introducing us to the life of living with the Father. Why? Because he didn't want any more Pharisees. He didn't want no more scribes. He didn't want any more Sadducees. People who honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. No. See, this is an amazing message today, because God's taking us right to the core of the things that's going to help us. Now I got to read my next verses.
Amen.
Now I put in there John 4, 27 through 38. John 4, 27 through 38. These are this is for our theme for this year. At this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "Why are you talking with her?" But see, they knew the prejudice. Yeah. The disciples knew the prejudice. The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men, "Come and see the man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" 30. Then they went out of the city and they came to her. In the meantime, his disciples said, "Eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." And they're like, "Well, why'd you send us to the city then?" Disciples said to one another, "Has someone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said, "My food, my meat, my strength is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Morning, Sunday. Good to have you with us today. Now watch this. What was Jesus saying to everybody in the whole situation? Jesus knows that lady's going to go in that city and not only bring back those five men, but she's going to bring back some other people with her. Because she's amazed at what God has done in her life. You ready? Look up what it says here. Verse 35. He's saying to the disciples, "Do not say that there's still 4 months and then the harvest comes." Don't say that. "I say to you, lift up your eyes. Look at the fields. They are already white for harvest."
No.
Right now, all around you, everywhere you go, are people who want God, and they're supposed to see him in you, but you're stuck in the things of the past and unforgiveness and sadness and sorrow and failure, and God's trying to make himself big through you, but you're handing everybody a failure, a sin, or a fear. And God's like, "No, no, no. I'm your Father. Listen to me. Listen, listen, listen. Let's get rid of that. Let me lead you in to the kingdom so that you can know the ways of God." The Apostle Paul killed Christians in the name of God. I don't think anybody that's ever going to come to this program is going to be that bad. Maybe there will be. That's pretty bad. You study God so much that you're now killing people in his name. That's a messed up dude.
It is a messed up dude.
That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, "I'm not coming to you in the persuasive words of man's wisdom." Why? Because Paul had a lot of persuasive words of man's wisdom. He had a doctorate degree. Paul said, "I'm coming to you one way, in a demonstration of the Spirit and power." Why? So your faith would not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God.
Amen.
And Jesus is saying, the fields are white unto harvest. Now look at this. Look at verse 36. This is our verse, one of our verses for the year. "He who reaps receives wages." It's a phrase. There's a comma after it. Everybody pay attention. "He who reaps," I'm in John 4, 36.
Well, 36.
"He who reaps receives wages." Wait, this verse is adjusting people's spirituality right now. Everybody get it? He who reaps what? Souls. People. To the kingdom. This is Jesus the Christ saying, he who reaps people into the kingdom receives wages. Let the Bible adjust your mentality. Because look at the next phrase. And gathers fruit for eternal life. Now, why did Jesus do that? Why did he put wages first and eternal life second? Are you going to tell him he was just confused and tired and hungry? Holy men wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this book. See, God wants you and I to reap souls of men, and he's going to give us wages when we do.
Thank you, Lord.
The quiet is on purpose, because some of you never slow your mind down long enough to say, hold on. What are you saying, Pastor? Read the word. Slow down. There's no award for reading the words on the page so fast you don't understand it. This is not third grade where you're trying to read better than Johnny or Mary. This is your life. Slow down and get this inside of you. Look at what Jesus is saying. And gather fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. You're going to rejoice because you're going to help somebody else walk with God. And because you're helping somebody else walk with God, God said he's going to give you some wages for it. No, Jesus, don't do that. See what it is? That's being your own boss. I don't want to do it that way. What does our Father have to say when you say that to him? Do it your own way. You don't get my presence when you do it that way. But Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door and let me in, I will come in. And if you don't open the door and let him in, then he just keeps standing there knocking. At first you hear it, and then if you keep plugging your ears, nah, 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 and you fill it up with religiosity and preaching and sermons and all this other stuff that sounds like God, looks like God, it is God, but you plug your ears to the words of the Father, nah, 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 I can't hear you knocking. Then you unplug your ears and you won't hear Jesus knocking on the door. Same way, you just let me in. Nobody.
That's how hardness of the heart.
That's how the hardness of the heart comes in. There's a big difference between not understanding and hardness of heart. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who don't understand God, but they're not hard-hearted toward him at all. I had a period in my life where there was a group of people telling me I was hard-hearted, and I was rebellious, and I finally went to Dr. Barclay. I'm like, Pastor, do you see me this way? Because their words had started to affect my life. And he's like, you ain't never been hard-hearted, and you're not a rebel. Do you understand what to do right now? No. But you're not hard-hearted and you're not a rebel. You have always wanted what God wants you to have. Well, I can trust my pastor, because he doesn't have any other focus in his mind but to help me get to where God wants me to be on this earth. And that's the same thing with Sister Leanne and I. We don't have any other focus than to help you become exactly what God made you on this earth. Well, when I began to silence those voices of those telling me I was hard-hearted and rebellious, I now had to go to work myself and say, I'm not rebellious. Father, seeking worshipers, Father, I'm a worshiper. I want to know you. And he says, and I want you to know me. And then he begins to help you break off all that junk and begin to build you into the being that he wants you to be. 2023, it's time to reap for me. The fields are white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Because you're willing to reap, because you get close to the Father, somebody else that's already sown a seed into that person's life, they now get to have a harvest. just like you. Why? Look at what it says, verse 36. And he who reaps receives wages that they may rejoice together. Who? The sower and the reaper.
You're wrong.
Don't worry. It's just the old cat. You're all right, buddy. Just the old cat. He hears everybody talking. He's like, where are y'all at? Now, to draw this to a close, because this is 1 hour of faith. This is 1 hour of faith and then communion. And I want you to very, 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 very specifically this year get this focus in your life. Please. Get this focus in your life that says, I am going to be free from unforgiveness. My past is no longer going to bother me. It's no longer going to stop me. It's no longer going to be in my way. And I'm not going to hold anybody else's past against them. See, now, all of a sudden, you and I have to find our place in the place where God's saying, let go of that. You know, there's a whole lot of people that's like, I don't know how to let go of it, Pastor. I know. I know. But the Father knows how to help you let go of it. Yeah, but I just want, and I always want it, and it doesn't matter. If it's not there, it's not there. What are you going to do about it? Wow, I got to deal with this. Do you see this? I got to deal with this. I got to help you get past it. Some of you, God has given you a promise about something in your life, and you want it to come to pass, and it's not there, and you're judging God. Don't judge God. All He can do is help you deal with what's in the way. And the problem is, you and I don't know what's in the way. But He knows what's in the way. But the only way you're going to get what He knows is in the way that He'll help you with is you got to start saying, yes, sir. Whew. It's a challenge. But remember, when He's talking to you, He's not talking to you out of anger. He's not talking to you out of anything but love. He loves you. And everything he's doing out of love. And He wants you to worship Him. In other words, be connected to Him. As soon as you're born again, your spirit man is in perfect connection with God Almighty. And the only thing that's in your way is the past and the lack of control of the thoughts that come through your mind. And we're going to deal with every bit of this in the beginning of this year to help you start 2023 in the most powerful place you've ever been, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen? Let's finish this now with communion. All right? Everybody make this confession with me this morning. You make it right out loud. Where you are, doesn't matter. If your family's sitting with you, tell them, hey, make this statement with me. Now watch. If every one of you will make this from your personal life, it will begin to happen. The Holy Spirit of God is going to give me a prayer to speak right now that will transform your life. So say this with me, out loud and be bold. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I choose to walk with you.
I choose to walk with you.
And let nothing be in my way.
And let nothing be in my way.
Like I see in the Word of God.
Like I see in the Word of God.
I let go of all of my past.
I let go of all of my past.
All of my failure.
All of my failure.
All of the confusion.
All of the confusion.
I let go of everybody else's failure.
I let go of everybody else's
and
failure.
I declare today I'm walking with you this year.
And I declare today I'm walking with you this year.
And I will be what you want me to be.
And I will be what you want me to be.
All year long.
All year long.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Well, Pastor, what if what you just said doesn't come to pass? It has to come to pass. It's the Word of God. You and I have to do the warfare to bring it to pass. Not because God's in heaven saying, well, I might give it to you if you fight hard enough. God is saying, it's already done. Fight, because what's opposing you is an enemy that I've already defeated for you. But you have to do the fight. Because the devil ain't going to let you have nothing for free. And that's the example of everybody in the Word of God that accomplished. You're not fighting God to give it to you. You're forcing the enemy God already defeated under your feet.
Amen.
The first thing we got to do is get the past dealt with, get unforgiveness dealt with, and get you focused on hearing the voice of Almighty God. Let's add one more set of verses to our verse list. John 17, 20 through 26. Just for the sake of putting that in so that people have that to study. I'm not preaching it. I just want to add that in there. I had a thought a minute ago. And that'll be a blessing to you. You ready? Let's receive communion together. That was 1 hour of faith, and now we have communion. That's what this program's called. 1 hour of faith. And Sister Kathy Angaroni is the one that gave us the last half of the title, and communion. Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate your helping that. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 23 through 28 and verse 31 and our communion verses, just like we always do here on the program.
Thank you, Sunday.
Thank you, Sunday. That's awesome. Amen, amen. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also received from you. What I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, I'm just quoting it, and then I looked down and said, wait a minute, say the Bible, all right? Just speak what's there. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. Take the bread in your hand and hold it up. We won't take it yet, receive it yet, but hold it up. When he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work to redeem your soul until he comes. Here's the process. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge everyone else, God would say, well done, you're a very good judger. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. First John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. How do you have boldness? Because as he is, that he is capitalized, as he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. He's the head, we're the body. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment, the trauma that goes with it. I bind you, trauma. You release your grip from these people now in Jesus' mighty name. There is no fear in love, and there is no fear in the communion elements. If you've been around people that say, if you sin, you better not come to the day that we're having communion. Are you kidding me? If you sin, don't run from God, run to him.
Yeah.
If you fail, don't run from the blood, run to it immediately. Pastor, I never heard anybody preach that. I know. The spirit of religion caused them to preach it the other way. But wouldn't it be horrible if God made Jesus suffer all of that, and then when you sin, you can't use it? That's mean.
It is, yeah.
No. The blood's there to use. I know. This is an interesting New Year's Day service. I'm adjusting some. I know I say this in almost every communion service. I'm adjusting somebody right now, I can tell. You don't go away from God when you sin. You go to him. You don't run from communion. You run to it. His broken body and his blood shed is the answer. Yeah, but that's why I sinned again. How are you going to stop in your own strength? Look at what you just lived throughout your whole life. In your own strength. But when you go to his blood and his broken body, you win. You win. What does it say? Let a man examine himself. Wait, there's times we examine ourselves and say, man, Father, I messed that all up. And he's going to say, yeah, I know. The next step is to say, I receive Jesus' blood and I receive his body. And God's going to say, woo! Why? Because that's the answer. Now, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation, because I want everybody that ever listens to this video, even those of you that missed the rapture and you find this video, you're freaked. If you've missed the rapture, you're freaked right now. But let this communion service on this video bring great strength to you, that you're going to go to heaven and be with the Father. You just now got to be faithful in a way that You looked at yourself many times and say, I sure wish it wasn't like this, but I'm going to tell you something. No matter what it's like, you forget the past and you enter in right now in God, in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
If I believe in you.
If I believe in you.
You will give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
Now make this statement. So Jesus hears my bold declaration.
So Jesus, here's my bold declaration.
I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
I believe you are the only begotten.
And you rose again just for me.
And you rose again just for me.
That's powerful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Now that transforms me, and I've been a Christian for 40 years. Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my
life. With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
as a
life.
Believer every day.
As a believer every
I
day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. You did it. You did it! Woo! I love it. Some of you right now on the inside, you're like, man, something's going on, Pastor. Yeah. You just invited God in, and that meant when you prayed that prayer, that means you meant it. And now he's come in. Some of you have just said the prayer, but you just said the words. You're going to have to go back when the video is done and find this spot on the video and say, wait a minute. I'm going to mean this prayer. And when you stop just saying words and you're like, wait a minute. Now all of a sudden it begins to transform you. And when you finally say, God, I want you in me, he will fill every part of you with him. Old things have passed away. All things become new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your sins are blotted out, thrown into the sea of his forgetfulness. Yeah, but Pastor, I didn't even confess them. How are you ever going to remember every sin you ever committed? They're all recorded in a book. And God gives you and I the ability to say, Jesus, come in, and the delete button is hit, and they're gone forever. Yeah, but wouldn't it make me feel better if I just confessed all of them? Just do it God's way. Just say, Jesus, come in. And it's all gone. And that's the life that you feel flowing in you now. Jesus, the light of the world, just filled you. Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, just filled you. The Holy Spirit of God just filled you. Because you listened and followed the words I gave you to say, which are right out of the book. And now your life is transformed forever. What do I do now, Pastor? Get you a Bible. Fast. Get you a Bible. I recommend this one, the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. You might look at it and say, Pastor, that's a big old book. I don't want one like that. All right, do it your own way. Go find one. I don't know what to tell you. It'll be filled with somebody's notes, and they'll tell you how to think and believe, and you'll come over here and you'll be like, well, that's not what that guy said. Because if you just get this one, this Bible is just this Bible and the Bible. And the Bible, and the Bible, with lots of aids to help you understand the Bible, with no doctrinal statement in it. Thompson Chain Reference Bible that will transform your life forever. If you need to know how to get one, email me, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. It's right down there in the notes. And I'll help you. I'll help you get one. Why? Because you got to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. The story of Jesus in the beginning of the church. And then do it again. Not speed reading. See how fast you can get it done. Slow down. And begin to see the story. Begin to hear the words. Nobody's watching but you and God. You can come to me tomorrow and tell me, Pastor, I read 72 chapters last night in the Bible, and I'm going to say, why'd you do that?
How much of them did you understand?
Yeah. There's no award for reading a whole bunch of chapters. He rewards those who diligently seek him. And sometimes in God, that's one verse. And you'll start to read a bunch of other stuff and they'll be like, this ain't doing nothing for me. And you go back and read that one verse and phew, you feel life. And then you try to go over there and read and nope, you come back and read that one verse and you got life. And then you look at heaven and say, you mean I only get to read one verse? Yup, you don't have this verse. Stay here till you get it. He's God. He knows when you get that one verse in your life, it'll transform and make the rest of everything else come together for you. Stop telling him how to lead you to be a Christian. People are like, Pastor, am I really doing that? Oh, yeah. Every one of us have done it. I remember that story Brother Hagin tells. There was no greater Christian than Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. And he's like, what did he say to God? He said, I've read the New Testament 150 times and I've never seen that in there. And he said, God said to me immediately, and there's a whole bunch of other things you've not seen too, Kenneth. Wait, after having read the New Testament 150 times. God knows what you need. Trust Him. You ready? Let's receive our communion elements together. We'll bless them, then we'll pray over the bread and receive it, and then we'll pray over the cup of blessing and receive it in Jesus' mighty name. It's not how you've done communion before, but it's His assignment to us. So we do it faithfully. Ready? Hold your elements up together, and let's pray this prayer of blessing. We bless and sanctify these elements.
We bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my
There's
emotions.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
And in the body of Christ in my community.
And in the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
All the way around the world to our Julian and Vimala.
All the way around the world to Julian and Vimala.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive His broken body together. Thank you, Lord, that you broke the body open and gave us the access to become a part of you. And now we are in Christ. We lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin is placed in remission.
Every sin is placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
And I thank you.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome the accuser of the brethren.
I overcome the accuser of the
brethren. And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague
and cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive His bloodshed. I like my communion cup. Some of you will call it a shot cup, but you got to learn to call holy, holy, and unholy, unholy. They made this cup for us, though your sins were as scarlet, red. They shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. And you can buy them in every store. You don't have to go to a church store to buy it. Just get one. Get you a whole pack of them. Lay your hands on it. and consecrate it to the work of the ministry. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, click like, hit subscribe, and ring the bell so that every time we come here, you get a notification in your life how you want it, by the email, by text, by a pigeon flying in the front door or something, whatever you've set up with YouTube, they'll get it to you, and you'll know every time that we're live. Stick with us this year. This is going to be a great year. Love you too, John Wainer, Roger, Sister Sunday, Kathy Angaroni, and all your family. Teresa, we bless you. We bless you. Every one of you who come to this video today for the New Year's message we have in this ministry, this is our year, 2023. It is time to reap for me. Amen. The fields are white for harvest. That works for the people that you and I are going to help find Jesus. And that works for every seed we've got sown into the kingdom that is to produce in a hundredfold return. In Jesus' mighty name. Remember, we're on Blog Talk Radio, we're on Zoom, and we're on YouTube. You're welcome to come and be a part of any of those. If you don't know how to connect, we want you to connect. And we want to be a blessing to you. In Jesus' mighty name. If this is a place that you're calling home and you're like, Pastor, I know I need to tithe, you can tithe right here. This is cool because anytime you tithe here, we tithe it again. So your tithe is double tithe. And we send our tithe to Dr. Barclay's ministry. And you know what he does with the tithe? He tithes it again. So when you tithe here, your tithe is triple tithe. What's that mean, Pastor? The windows of heaven are opened triple times on it. It means the blessings being poured out on you triple times. The devourers being rebuked triple. And you are being called a delightful land. That's pretty cool. If you don't know how, you can go to the website and it says it right there. It says, what's it say? Hold on. Let me get it. Sowing seed and, hold on. Tithe, sow seed. So it's Samuel J. Cottle /tithe. And that'll take you right to the spot on our website where you can click the button. And PayPal and Venmo, you can actually just put in your own credit card every time you come there, or debit card. If you use Instant Messenger, you can actually go to Instant Messenger, and you have to use my name at this point. Go to my name, and then you can just send it right through Instant Messenger just using a debit card, and that's a blessing to you. Here's the cool thing about it. We don't ever come begging for money, but we're doing some stuff in God, and every seed you sow, it's blessed, and we go do it. And it's a good thing. John, type it in again. I got to see what that means. I'll answer that question. But
John, what 23? You must have given a verse from John, maybe? What 23?
John 17, verses 20 through 26, I said. All right, we'll answer the question or go back, and that would be in about an hour and 40 minutes or something. Anyways, until we see you again, this is what we say. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
We'll be here tomorrow morning for prayer. We will be. We are doing the work that God gives us to do. And we want you to enjoy your life. Remember, we're only a phone call away, text, instant messages. And we're glad to help you walk with God. Now, helping you walk with God is not just sitting and listening to you. We don't mind listening. But the whole purpose of listening is so that we can get the things solved in your life that you need solved. And that means open the Bible, read what it says, believe it, and carry it out in Jesus' mighty name. You can usually, before we go live on a program, you can usually hook up to Zoom, and for about 20 minutes before the program starts, we're on here just talking about life and family and eating or whatever we're doing. That's 20 minutes before the top of the hour when we go live. And this year, God's really challenging me to cut our time down, get ourselves very focused, and make things happen. That doesn't mean that we're not going to be a part of people's lives. Just show up 20 minutes early like you would at church. Right? If you wanted to talk to somebody at church, you'd show up 20 minutes early, say you was there to talk to them when they showed up. And it'll be a blessing to you today. We will be fasting, and we'll kick that off tomorrow, give you a fasting schedule. But most of all, it's like you need to do in your life what it takes you to say, I am going to do this and get this done. All right, she left her water pot in the bay. That's good. Thanks, John. I'll grab that real quick. That would be John 4:23. Must be in the leg. Serious in the leg. John 4:23. Actually, that would have been... left her water pot.
Twenty-eight.
Yeah, there you go. No matter how hard I looked at 23, it didn't work. Yeah, 28. She left her water pot, went her way into the city, and did what Jesus said. Very good. That's a good word to end the program. Sit down that thing that you're doing daily and say, wait a minute, I got to enter in and get close to God. Don't be afraid of him. He's only going to take you in to his presence.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right, remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
See you again real soon. Some of you have been encouraged to turn this on and listen to it again immediately. We've done that over and over and over. And it'll be a blessing. Sure do love you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. See you soon.